All right, Knights, are you ready for this? Jay, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, in this week's podcast, because yes, we're going to make it formal, we're going to do something that we never do, talk about nerdy stuff. Just kidding. We're going to talk about the new hot topic out there, and that's how comic books have made TV shows now. Yay!
Yay.
Not just movies, right, Jay?
Not just movies, which I'm not actually too thrilled about, but I did enjoy this set of TV shows.
Yeah, because I enjoy TV shows, but it hasn't worked in the past. And, I mean, cartoons always work. That's different. And we're talking about cartoons and live action, mind you. We're not talking about kid cartoons, right, Jay?
No.
Perfect.
We are talking about violent cartoons, extremely.
And what's cool is, I mean, to pull our master of strength, Melissa here, you know, she's our comic book guru, but we'll go a little bit about how Golden Age comics, when they came out, that was in like the 30s and the 50s, Silver Age, 50s, 70s, Bronze Age, that was to the 80s, and now it's Modern Age. But I think the past decade, they've changed, right, Jay? The rules of superheroes have changed.
Right, 100%. And it's interesting, we've almost recently been fixated on this idea of like bad superheroes, like superheroes who are putting up a front, and they're secretly like conniving. Have you noticed that trend?
Yeah, because the only anti-hero was the Punisher. He was a bad one, but or Batman. Like those were the anti-heroes, right?
Right, and
but
Deadpool now they're like, was kind of it for a while, right? Like
right, yeah, that's right too. Yeah, they're because you know they play by their own rules. They don't have rules, right? That's their whole premise is they don't have rules,
right?
And that's been working for what 60 decades, but we're tired of it.
60 decades? You mean six?
No, 60. That's 600 years, Jay. I've heard it both ways.
Christopher Columbus playing with a Batman action figure discovered the Americas.
Were you there?
I wasn't there. Maybe you did.
There
that
you
one.
Go.
The history books are lying to us. but kind of on that note, I think a movie that recently came out, Invincible, really heavily plays into this narrative of like secret. What would you call it? Like secret intentions of a Superman.
Yeah, you could go with that too, or just playing by their own rules too. That's what I like to say.
Playing by their rules, I like that. What's Invincible about? For those who don't know, give us a quick little overview of Invincible, Johnny.
You
without
do Invincible, I'll do the next one.
Okay, cool. So, Invincible is all about the story of young Mark, who is half alien, half human. Very similar to Superman, we have a hero named Omni-Man, who has been around for a while. He's the world's strongest man, can fly. And his son, Mark, it's not sure if he is going to inherit sort of his gene pool for the superhero stuff. What are they called? Viltrumites?
Yeah.
The Viltrumites. So it's a coming-of-age story for Mark as he is trying to become a superhero and come in touch and get trained by his powers. And then there's some evil lurking beneath the surface, which you find out in the first episode when it comes to his father, Omni-Man, and some of the other superheroes lurking in this world.
Yeah, what's cool is if you just Google that, I think, or YouTube it, the last 2 minutes of that show. Are we going spoiler heavy here?
No, let's avoid spoilers.
The last 2 minutes of that show, of that first episode, I recommend. It'll set the tone for everything, and that'll tell you what. And it's funny because everyone's like, I haven't seen the show yet, but I saw the last 2 minutes. That was like the talk around the nerdom for a little bit before this show caught on. Was like, oh, I just watched that 2 minute clip and I'm intrigued.
Of the last episode or
of the first episode, sorry.
Okay. I was gonna say because I actually first kind of came into contact with the show because of a meme where someone is saying, "Think Mark," and he's standing over him, and everyone had recreated the this moment where someone's like lecturing to the main character Mark. They recreated it, but for like different comic book characters. Like there's Iron Man over Thanos. And then there's Goku over Vegeta. And then there's like Vegeta over Cell. Like there's just a ton of different versions of it. Like when I say a ton, I mean like these graphic designers have gone out and recreated it like 100 times. It's pretty funny. So that when I first saw this meme trending, I was like, all right, I guess I'll watch a couple clips on YouTube. And then I got super intrigued, found out it was on Amazon Prime. And So I watched it with my wife, and after the first episode, we got to, you know, the first episode's pretty good, and then it, like Johnny says, it ends on a pretty high note that sets the tone for the show, and both of us were like, whoa.
Yeah, where is this going?
Yeah. What did you, what kind of hooked you on the show? Would you say it was that, Johnny, or how did you first watch it?
Yeah, well, I knew it was on because we may not do nerd news, but I'll keep in track. And then we're talking about this show and the other show, Jupiter's Legacy, that we'll talk about. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm always down any superhero stuff. I'll watch it. I like anything on Amazon too. Amazon's been doing really good stuff.
Yeah, but what the heck? Amazon like coming out clutch all of a sudden. All of a sudden they're producing these originals that are pretty good. They're supposed to be creating the Wheel of Time and a Lord of the Rings series, like. And someone who we want to have on eventually. I'm finishing. So, sorry, this is a quick tangent, but Chris Pratt is starring in a series about a Navy SEAL, and I'm trying to get one of the actors on. So we'll see if that happens in the next bit. But that'll be for an Amazon series that they take part in with Chris Pratt.
Yeah, they're not like dropping 50 new specials like Netflix. They're just the five they drop are really good.
Yeah.
No, but what I liked about this this new trend they're doing too is it's really cool. Not to spoil out a little bit, but he is like the son of Superman. So imagine Superman as a kid, right? Because we don't get that. We don't get that in a lot of these, you know, mainstream comics. Is what happens with their kids, right? What do they have? They have to live up to a legacy, which is unattainable. And how are the parents gonna treat the kid? Like, are they gonna push them? Are they gonna make them be them? Are they gonna follow in the footsteps? So that's what's really cool. It's a very real world application to it.
Yeah, and it's I don't know. I think so. Another part of the show why I liked it so much is as I kind of started digging into it, I didn't realize how many huge actors they had casted for this. Did you know that, or did you kind of like, were you shocked when you opened up IMDb too?
I mean, I knew like two or three of them.
Well, one of them is obvious, right? Like the J.K. Simmons.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you know him from the Progressive commercials.
Bring me Spider-Man. That's what I was like thinking more of. Oh, but
I guess if you want to go Marvel.
J. Jonah Jameson in every version of Spider-Man.
He really is, isn't he?
Yeah. They can't cast anyone else, you know? Doesn't matter the timeline.
If you get it, you get it, man.
He really was born to play that role, but... And he's a Commissioner Gordon in the DC universe, right? For yeah. Snyderverse.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but just can we name drop a couple actors just to get if your interest isn't piqued yet, let's just drop a couple big names that'll bring people in. Maybe does that sound good?
Do it.
So Mark Hamill is in it.
Who's that again?
Luke Skywalker.
Oh, that's right.
Let's see, J.K. Simmons, we said that, Steven Yeun, and he was just in...
He just won an Oscar, didn't he?
Yeah, he just won an Oscar for that movie where the two Korean immigrants were coming over. I can't remember now the name of it, but I did watch it. Minari. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he just won an Oscar for Minari. And then, let's see, who else? Zachary Quinto's in it, a.k.a. Spock. He plays the robot. And, Britta's in this?
Britta? She's the worst.
She's the worst. So what's funny is Britta does play in this, so Gillian Jacobs, and she's in it, but in it, she's like a total like tree hugger, like, I'm going to save the world and make Britta. A difference. Yeah, she literally is like if Britta had superpowers. Like, as I watched it, I lost it. I thought it was so funny. I believe that man need not be governed. I don't care. one person who I thought did a really good job. So I'll say this of the show. If you end up watching it, there's a character named Cecil in it who's kind of a government... he's like the government guy. You know who I'm talking about? Cecil? He teleports. Mm-hmm. He's played by Walter Goggins, who I really like. He's been in everything. You'd recognize him. Like he was in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Anyway, Cecil is like...
He had a show called The Unicorn. Just got canceled, but it was big for 2-3 seasons.
Yeah, is that the one where he's kind of like in the
South? Like he's a single dad, but he was a unicorn because he was like a good single dad. He's a widowed dad.
Oh, gotcha.
So but he was like the rare, like, oh, he's a good father and a good man. So that was like the whole premise of the show.
Was he really, though?
I didn't watch it, but it got good notions for 2-3 years. But as we come to know, good shows don't last.
Right. That's the name of the game. And then they have a few voice actors who are in everything. But Cecil is, so he's this government guy, and he can teleport and stuff. And I love his character, because he's kind of like the perfect U.S. greater good. I'm just going to, you know, I don't care about what's right. All I care about is a means to an end. Like, if it's good in the end, it doesn't matter how you get there, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna call me out on this. I didn't realize it until someone pointed it out that he doesn't teleport, that there's a machine they have that teleports him.
Oh.
And I'm not smart enough to realize that. So after they told me, and I was like, oh, yeah, I totally caught on to that after the third, fourth episode, but it takes me always a minute.
He's not a superhero, too. He's just...
Yeah, he just has a government machine. And then I'm like, well, I didn't finish the series, because there's a point towards the end where they're like, use the machine. Oh, it doesn't always accurately work. And it was a callback to like three episodes ago where he got placed in a wrong spot. And he's like, oh, it doesn't always work that way. So it was one of those things that I was like, yeah,
how
like,
did you're trying I not to notice this?
Walk it off. I'm like, no, yeah, I totally paid attention.
So what would you, I guess, let's just do a quick spoiler section, guys. So if you don't want to listen to spoilers, go ahead and skip forward a couple minutes.
We highly recommend it. Just watch it.
Yeah, really watch the show. But let's just do a quick good, bad, and nerdy. Pick one thing from the show to, if people are okay with spoilers, then go ahead and maybe this will get you
hooked.
We're
spoiling it.
Yeah.
Good. I thought the good was how they, it was just funny watching the transition between Omni-Man of how, honestly, till the very end, I was kind of rooting for him a little bit. Like, you know what? Maybe he is going to turn. And because so to spoil it, he wants to take over his species are supposed to take over the world.
Right, they're conquerors.
Yeah, he's supposed to conquer over the world, and then he takes his time to do it. Anyway, so he had to kill all the other Justice League, because this is a different universe, so he killed everyone from the Justice League.
Dude, but it is like the Justice League. Yeah. Like, you have Batman, you have Wonder Woman, you have Aquaman.
So that sets the point of you're like, oh, is this guy bad? But then throughout the show, you kind of like, maybe he's good. And then you're like, oh, you know, he really cares about his wife. And then out of nowhere, he just drops the, I live for 1,000 years. She's nothing to me. She's a pet. You're going to live so long. They mean nothing. And I thought that was good. That was a cool like transition of keeping me on my toes. I was rooting for him until the last episode.
Yeah, you weren't really. You were trying to uncover the mystery, too, of whether or not he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love that line. Your mom, she's more of a pet to me. A pet? I would say for me, the good, I would like that it was violent, but not gratuitously so. Meaning, like, the violence served a purpose for the story. A lot of shows just throw in violence for the sake of violence, and I hate that. But the violence was very, like... Because it needs to be artistic. If you're going to have innocent people blowing up, it needs to... You need to be creating character development and showing a purpose to the story and moving the story along. And this show is the perfect example of that. It is brutal at times. In the beginning, when he kills off the Justice League, he basically gets the Flash in a headlock, and the Flash just starts punching his chest like at super speed, and you can see his chest just swelling up as he's squeezing the head, and then he pops it like a, oh my goodness. Whoa. It was brutal. But like later on, even more so, like you see his determination, and it builds him as a character, and it builds the mystery and the story and the plot. And so that for me is like almost a nerdy, but it's really good. I'm just gonna say,
I know I was gonna go well to that, done. My nerdy on that one.
Sorry, Johnny.
No, I have different scenes for that.
Do you got a bad?
The only bad, and it's only because how I wanted to, they alluded to other, like, so because it, what's really smart what they did was they made it real world. So like, you know, these guys are real. They have an Instagram following. And then they had like other groups, not just the Justice League. So they had like little other groups that were like, oh, we're ranked number 4. I kind of wanted to see more of these groups, see how they were. That's something that I thought would be bad. Like, oh, I want to see the third group, the second ranked group, the, you know, the B squad.
Kind of like the One Punch Man. They've got the Heroes Association, and you can get different class heroes. I don't know if you've watched One Punch Man, but they have S class heroes, and then they have A class heroes, and then B, and then so on and so forth. C.
Yeah, they have that on My Hero Academia. It's an anime thing.
Yeah, but that would have been cool to see that fleshed out right? More for Invincible.
That's the only thing is like because they alluded to like no, I love you. The British character was in like a kind of like a Teen Titan-y type of group, and they were like, you guys are like my fourth favorite group, and then I'm like, oh, what are the other ones? So I just wanted more. The bad was that I wanted more.
Yeah. She's pretty OP, too. Adam Eve is pretty strong.
Yeah, Jacob's she holds character. It in.
Seriously. Real quick, for me, a bad would be I thought that you can't put a character in like Batman and then have... This isn't even necessarily a bad, but it's just a point that's almost bad. But basically, they have a character who's 100% Batman on a flying surfboard. Like, looks like him, everything. But then Batman isn't paranoid in this. Like, he has no plan for if Omni-Man turns. And if you,
He's happy, right?
Yeah, and if you're familiar with the comics, Batman is extremely paranoid and has contingencies to kill every single member of the Justice League.
Yeah, there is a like the equivalent of how, not Jarvis. Who's the Ultron? Like how Ultron thought they were too powerful and stopped it. That happened in a Justice League miniseries where it leaked out all the disclaimers on how to these robots to how to stop everyone, and Batman's the one who created them. Like how to like running around kryptonite, running around just so he was the one. He's like, and they were all mad at him. He's like, oh, I didn't trust you guys. This was before. I think it was one of the Justice League movies. It was probably like an 03 movie.
But I think it's based on some of the comics. I think in
oh, it's one all comics. It's
yeah,
all
I was gonna say in one of the comics, there's a cover where Batman's holding up a batarang, and in the reflection, you can see the Justice League just laid before him because he set out this he set out this super thorough plan of, in the event that Superman turns, how do we kill him? And same thing with Wonder Woman, all the other ones. Like, what was his contingency plans for basically decimating the Justice League? And so that was my kind of bad, is that they threw in Batman, but not really. It would have been interesting if they'd have been a little more prepared for Omni-Man's turn. But I like how the movie is, or how the show is, how it is. But I'm just saying it would have been interesting. Do you have a nerdy?
I have two quick ones. Only your homeboy Seth Rogen, who I find funny, who you're not a huge fan of.
He's fine. Yeah. I just like Green Hornet. He just feels like he tries hard. You know what I mean? Like in other stuff, he's kind of a tryhard for me. But in some stuff, I like him. So I really liked him in like Monsters vs. Aliens, and like there are a few other shows where he does well. He does well as a backup character, but he's
I was gonna say
when he tries to take the lead, I don't think he's that funny.
No, but his character was funny. He's and they're all down and hurt. And so Omni-Man, the main guy, his son, who got his powers, names himself Invincible, right? And then he's not putting himself in a pedestal or anything. Names himself Invincible. And they're like, Invincible, we need you. There's some projectile coming in from outer space. So he flies out, sees this alien out in the moon, and they're fighting. And then halfway through, he's like, oh, wait. So Seth Rogen's character, was it Alan, the alien?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just stop, and he starts talking to Invincible, Omni-Man's son. And he just goes like, oh, I'm on the wrong Earth. Oh, I'm so sorry. And they become like buddies just fighting on the moon. They sit down and have a good talk. And I just like the two interactions he has with them too. So I thought that was funny and nerdy. But I will go to the main best nerdy part. Those death scenes. I mean, come on. My favorite is, I think it's the last episode or second to last. They go into the house and the CIA agents, the wannabe, you know, the SHIELD agents, they're like invincible. They're invisible, pardon. And they're trying to catch Omni-Man at his house. And then all of a sudden, like he moves so fast, he cuts one of them in half. And then you just see him slowly coming apart. And I was like, that was just so well done. I did a woo after watching it.
Brutal. There's a scene where, like, as he's taking out the Justice Leagues, at one point he just karate chops it's not the Invincible Man. You corrected me on this.
Oh, the Immortal?
The Immortal Man. Yeah, the Immortal is just what they call him. And the Immortal.
Which is a playoff. What's his name? I'll look it up. It's a DC character name. They're based.
Oh, the guy that like sits next to a meteor and lives forever.
Well, no, it's the same thing. So in Invincible, it's the guy's been around since he was a caveman and lived through the generations. Yeah, they had one in DC too.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. In DC, there's some guy. At least, so in one version, there's like this radioactive meteor, and he like takes a nap next to it, and then he just doesn't die. He makes an appearance.
It could be that one. Yeah, I think it is that one.
He makes an appearance in The Flash real quick, right?
Yeah, he's in The Flash. He's in all of them. He's the ones that Hawkman and Hawkwoman have to deal with.
They're
all from like Egyptian era.
He's nasty in some of the cartoons.
Yeah.
Well, Guillermo's looking that up. So this, I'll do two nerdies too. One that was nerdy is out of all these characters, a lot of them have performed in other superhero stuff. So like War Woman is Martha in Laura Corps, and she's Martha in a. Oh crap. Martha in Batman vs Superman. She's Martha, not Martha Wayne. She's Martha Kent. Holy cow. That was
brutal.
Wait,
they both have this, their moms both have the same name?
Yeah. What in the world? And then Ezra Miller, who plays the Flash, he's a voice. He's in everything. But I can't remember his name now. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's like the Ronan's right hand man. Drax pulls his head out. His name in real life is Jimon Hounsou. He's in a ton of stuff. He's a black guy. He's in Never Back Down. I don't know. He's got a very unique voice. You'd recognize him if you saw him. Anyway, he makes an appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy. Seth Rogen, as mentioned earlier, is the Green Hornet. Can we call Spock a superhero? He kind of is.
Yeah, but then he had like weird intentions to be like a kid, to date the girl who's a kid. That was a weird part too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
I mean, he's pretty much he's Ultron, right? I mean,
it's true. Zazie Beetz is she's the lucky person in Deadpool 2, and then the final one. So just like a ton of these people have experience in other superhero genres. J.K. Simmons, obviously, with being probably the biggest name for other superhero movies. But it's kind of funny that they were like, oh, let's just get a bunch of actors who've been superheroes to play other super characters. Kind of cracked me up.
And what did you tell me when we were prepping that used to be a faux pas, but now it's expected?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Johnny and I were talking, and it's like, it used to be a big deal. If someone played in Marvel and then they switched to DC, it was a huge thing. I remember as a kid, they would be like, oh my gosh, we, you know, I'm trying to think of an example.
Well, I think it was, what's her face? Who did Catwoman, and then she did Storm.
Oh yeah, Halle Berry. That was a big deal. Barry. She was one of that the very few. That was a big deal. Yeah. And then pretty soon it became almost out of hand. And then now it's everywhere. Christian Bale has been Batman. He's
like
in Marvel.
Evans was like the first one to be like, because Fantastic Four was just so lame. Catwoman was lame as well. But it was kind of like, he's like, wait, why is Johnny Blaze being, not Johnny Blaze.
Yeah, people were in an uproar about that. Because it's like, we can't have him play two different superheroes. Yeah. That's silly. And now it's like
every. And it was single... within Marvel too. Like that wasn't even like a crossover. That was like Marvel with Marvel. It was Fantastic Four too. And that one was kind of, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause yeah. Sorry. I'm saying yeah a lot, it used to be a really big deal. If you were playing in both universes, there were only like a very small handful, and now it's tons. Like just because superhero stories have been around for so long and the movies have been, that it is tons. So now it's almost like they're doing it just for fun. Like now they're just showing off.
Yeah. I mean, Loki's just gonna, you know, be. Let me see. Loki's just going to be the new Batman. Why not? The new Flash.
The new like, Robin.
You know, new Robin, yeah. Ooh, Nightwing. Yeah,
he'd be a good Nightwing.
To call back, I just got a thing. It's Vandal Savage.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say Savage. That's what I was thinking of.
I couldn't remember that at all, and I was like, that guy was the headache, man.
Yeah. So in Justice League Unlimited, he like takes a nap next to
Meteor.
Yeah,
he has a big deal, too.
Yeah, but he's like the bad guy in Justice League Unlimited. Mm-hmm. Him and Lex are like the two big ones, I would say personally. I mean, Darkseid makes an appearance, but not really. And
well, he also, Randall Savage, he also has like kids, and he goes in the future and he holds them too because he doesn't die. So he takes over like in the 22nd century. Like he is the ruler of Earth. Like, you know what I mean? Like he just takes over.
Right.
Gets bored.
Yeah. He does a lot of messed up stuff.
I think it's something like that. I could be way wrong. I'm sure Melissa's going to text us how we messed up, which is what we love. What we love.
The other, I was just going to say one other brutal moment is, all right, this is really heavy spoiler. So skip 30 seconds if you don't want a super heavy spoiler, but, Omni-Man beats the shit out of Mark. Like he just beats him to
his son, Mark was invincible.
And then he's just sitting there lecturing, where will you be in 500 years? You know, everyone, you know, will be dead. What will you have? And that whole sequence for me was just like, wow, what a good climax for the show. Seriously, dude. Brutal, but awesome. So
it's
awesome.
They're not messing around anymore with
storytelling. Yeah, they're not
cartoons.
Holding their punches. No.
Yeah, it's not Peter Parker running around. Oh, Aunt May, hey, how are you? Here's groceries. Like, you know, it's be my legacy or you're dead.
Yeah. And I'm okay to hurt someone who... You know, this whole movie we've set up a relationship with of caring. Now we're gonna hurt the watcher by having them have to watch this. So very interesting. Anyway, So there's another show we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so in the vein of this that I like about, so it's kind of the same thing, Jupiter's Legacy. It's on, now Jupiter's Ascending. Do not watch that, or do, just don't tell us that you did.
Johnny and I kept saying movie. Jupiter Ascending over and over again, and we're like, wait a minute, why is it from 2014?
why is this movie so bad? It should be amazing. Back to real life, Jupiter's Legacy, which is on Netflix. It's pretty much a live action version, a little bit of Invincible, and I like to call it a watered down version of The Boys. There's still a little, like, they don't swear that much in it. So if you're kind of like, you know, I want to see The Boys, but it's a little too graphic. Not graphic violence, graphic for other sexual natures, we'll just say it. Jupiter's Legacy doesn't do that. So it's a little more tamed. But it's the same concept of heroes unchecked, right? Like, it's, they're checked in a way that, so they're the whole mantra. Are we going to go spoilers on this since they're already?
Yeah, if they made it this far into the cast, I think they've probably. Okay.
So just a quick wrap. All it is our, what's his name? That I had more of this ready. Jason. Nope. Jason DeMel. There we go. Josh DeMel. Wow. So him and a group of his friends get a calling that they need to go visit this island in the 50s. When did the stock market fail, Jay? You should know this. When did it crash? Was it the 20s or 30s?
It would have been like the 30s, because it would have been right before the Great Depression. So in the 30s ago. Prior to World War II, starting in the 40s.
Yep, there we go. That's why I asked you. So they, the 30s. So he's a businessman. The stock market's crashed. It goes crazy. Him and his brother, some people, they go on this island and they get powers in the 30s. And then they start like their own, I mean, it'd be Justice Society, because, you know, we're doing a... golden age here, old school, and they lived off one premise: do not kill. That was just number one rule. And so the whole premise was, and then they don't get old, so they're fast forward to when they have their kids. And again, back to what I really, really like about Invincible is how do parents interact with each other, right, with their kids. And so the parents, both the Jupiter Legacy, that Lisa Bibb, she's on a ton of shows, she's like Wonder Woman. So if like Superman and Wonder Woman got married and they had kids, how would they turn out, right? This is how they're thinking. And the son is, you know, trying to live in the footsteps. And then the daughter's like, hey, I hate you all. You weren't around. So she's just like a model and uses her powers for laziness. Nothing big. Yeah. So, but it's cool because you think about it, like, what if they do have messed up kids, right? Like, they're never, not everybody's going to be perfect. They're not going to be there for them.
It's like Sky High, but the kids are brats.
Exactly. And it has a little Sky High to it that they have to kind of apply to get in the society. Anyway, so the whole premise is do not kill. And what I really, really love, I'll do a quick, just pure nerdy on this, the psychological reason of I can't kill the bad guy, but the bad guy can kill us. So they have this big fight. Do you mind if I keep going?
Yeah,
I
know you're not too. Please do. No, okay. Please do.
Well, because I don't want to ruin it for you, but there's this big fight. And so it's equivalent, it's a big bad guy, so he shoots and he fires and he kills one of the son's best friends, and he's about to kill the dad, so the Superman, and then the son loses it and kills him. And the whole like half of the season is, why is that okay for the son? Why is it okay for him to kill and we don't kill? And it's a whole crossing the lines and the barrier. So at the end, the dad has that same situation. The son's right about to die, but the dad will not kill. And you just see like the torture in his eye. And he's like, but they were able to free him. And he's like, I would kill him for you. And then you never know. So anyways, the whole premise that I was going on this long soliloquy was, how is it fair? Jay, I'll point that out to you. If you were a superhero, you and me were fighting bad guys, right? And the Joker kills me, but you're not allowed to kill. Is that fair?
I would say, no, but I mean, I would.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, because it goes back to like the Red Hood thing, right? Like, Red Hood wants to kill people and Batman won't. You know, how do we toy with that line? It's such an interesting psychological thing. And people have talked about it in warfare. Like, can you stoop down to the other people's level? And if you do, what are you really fighting for? You know, if you're the monster. I don't know. I heard that recently on a SEAL was talking about his book. This goes back to the Jack Carr's book that we want to have someone on for the Chris Pratt series. Anyway, he talks about kind of this vein in real life, how there's truth to that. you know, of where are your morals at when it comes to killing, and who will you kill, and is it allowed? And if you're all powerful, like, so taking it a step further, if you're an all power superhero, what, you know, if you kill one person, what stops you from killing the next, you know? Kind of, yeah.
It's a weird line. Do you know what I mean?
Like, where do you draw the line as a judge, jury, and executioner? You can't.
And the thing is, too, like, so the kids are, they're all descendants of the superheroes. They grew up together, right? Like, they've known each other since they were babies. Like, one of them was like, he's been your best friend since seventh grade, and he's dead, and you could have prevented it, but your dad didn't. And so there was this one scene where Wonder Woman, so this girl who grew up with a daughter, with their daughter, who's, and she's like, and they build her up as like just an amazing, good person, the girl, this girl. And they're off trying to find this bad guy, and she's in a warehouse. And then the Wonder Woman character follows. She comes out all bloodied. And they were like, did the bad guy come out? And they're like, he's alive, but Star Girl isn't. I can't remember her name. But she was just dead. Like, she almost gave up because the girl that she, it's like a daughter to her, like, grew up, killed it. And she couldn't, and like, she had to hold back because if she broke that rule, she would have gone against her husband's wishes. But that it's a moral quandary that I never thought of as a superhero. Like, wouldn't it would be easier, right? Like, if he would have just killed Joker, he wouldn't have killed all those people, like, in a tower, right?
Right, all but the
they
time.
They can't do that.
Yeah. And that's kind of what fascinates the Joker about Batman, is how far can I push this envelope before he finally snaps and, you know, kills me.
It's cool because it got me thinking of, like, it was a cool show. I like that they're getting picked up. Both of these shows are getting picked up, so I really like that. And I like The Boys, so I'm telling everyone, watch everything. There's a little bit of different superhero stuff for everybody. That's what's really cool about the stuff that's coming out here. And then I tell them, you know, it's just that I don't know if I could do it. Like, if I saw, like, your friend getting killed, you'd break it. But then you'd be kind of, you know, not having any moral. Once you do it one time, it's easier to kill, right?
Right.
And you could. And what's the difference of, like, a bank robber and killing, like, Thanos, right? You want to kill Thanos, but if you're killing a bank robber, it's bad. But if it's Thanos, oh, you can kill him.
It kind of goes back to Cecil on jumping back to the other show. But yeah, if you're trying to get to that greater good, does it really matter how you get there? As long as the outcome, you know, if you're trying to get to the number 17, does it matter how you get there? You know what I mean? If the outcome is good, does it matter how you get there? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If killing the Joker. Like, if Batman were to just, imagine how many lives that would save if Batman just started offing, you know, Bane and the Joker and everything else.
You would have saved Robin.
Yeah. But would it have created even worse, you know, villains to pop up? That's the other conundrum. Like, I don't know. They
do touch on that. So they have, like, their little Arkham that was there. And then the whole, not to spoil it, but so it got out that the son killed somebody. So when they cut back to the jail scene, they're like, uh-oh, be careful. They're not playing by our rules anymore. So they, like, threw it back in their faces. So you kind of feel like, wow, you're right. Superheroes are douches. Like, you know, they'll turn on you. The public will turn.
There's and it kind of goes back to Vision in Civil War. He's talking about, like, since Iron Man introduced himself, how many nearly world-ending events had popped up because, you know, someone had to challenge him, basically. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so it kind of plays into that too. Like, once you start introducing these characters, what you know?
Wait, did you say Jarvis?
Oh, I meant to say Vision. I mean, they're one and the same, right?
Wait, did you say Superman and Jarvis in the same sentence?
I think I said Iron Man and Jarvis. Okay. are you just throwing this back at me? Did I screw it up?
A little bit. No, it's also too. Alfred also kind of said that about Batman when he was talking to Wonder Woman too. When he's like, you know, evil breeds more good. Like, they always try to one up him. That's why he had to hold back.
So he's in the Justice League. Here's an interesting thing. And this is where we're going to lose our followers. But I feel like if I was in Superman's shoes in Man of Steel, when Zod is just like, I'm going to kill your planet, and he's about to fry that family, I'm kind of like, do it, snap his neck. Like, if he gets away from me, you don't know who else he's going to kill. One life for many. Yeah, Zod in the first Man of Steel. Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, and then the Jupiter is ascending. Ha, legacy. They, like, he tries to be like, they try to justify the kid killing is not a thing. And they're like, well, 78% of the public agrees. I feel like more people would do agree with you on that why not just kill Zod? You would have saved innocent people.
Well, I don't know, because a lot of people freaked out when the movie came out. And I'm like, what do you want him to do? Like, really? He was about to fry those girls. That's so online. Yeah, there was this huge presence of like people. And I think people just didn't like a dark tone. And seeing Superman snap his neck at the end was just like, you know, culminating that dark tone. It was hard for them.
It was a dark Superman.
Yeah. I always appreciated Superman's, it showed the impact of it, though. I thought that would have been a cool way for Superman to then vow to not kill people, which Zack Snyder didn't do, because Zack Snyder's great at shooting cool shots.
Well, but it's also, it'll make sense why Batman doesn't trust him.
Right. Yeah.
Like, if he's like the ultimate Boy Scout, why would Batman not trust him? You know, he's the Boy Scout.
Right. Snapping necks. Shouldn't that be concerning that they had a leveling match that, or a grudge match that leveled the city that ended in Superman snapping his neck? Like, disconcerting.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing too, is they try to do so much money the city spent, and that's always funny when shows try to do that. They're like, you did $30 million in damage in this battle, because they're trying to teach the younger generation how to be heroes. And they're like, they even did that Invincible, right? When they're like, oh, this is how you did this much damage, you didn't have to do that much damage. And you're like, that's kind of true. Like, their superhero training would be like, you know, you didn't need to break that car. You didn't need to do this.
I like the meme about like everyone cheering for the Avengers, and then it shows someone like not having fun, and it's like me watching the Hulk smash my brand new car. Yeah, there's some truth to that.
The only failed, and I'll keep this going for another second here, is there was this one TV show that got me so angry, because when too many fingers get touched in a show, Jay, you know they ruin it, right?
Yeah,
too many. The original premise of the show was supposed to be, what if, and I loved it, and I was so excited, and you and me are going to make this show one day, what if, like, B-level superheroes need, like, an insurance adjuster to pay off all their damage? It's kind of like an Office hybrid. Of where they, right? It's kind of a funny thing, like, but they're not big. So it's like, Elastic Man, he had to go talk to him, be like, yeah, I broke this car and I had to fix this. And so they had to like work through him. That was the original premise. And it turned into where they were kind of like Star Labs making stuff, and it was horrible. Mm-hmm. Danny Pudman,
Abed,
in it. Yeah. But he wasn't Abed. He was when he was trying to be the, it wasn't funny. It was horrible. Like, it only lasted like 8 episodes. And I'm like, yeah, because you ruined a great premise of how funny would that be? Like, a B-level superhero has to go into an office. And it was kind of supposed to be shot like The Office, where they were just like, yeah, I just...
Dude, that would have been incredible.
Right? And aesthetic. I read that premise and I was so happy. And then it turned into like the 6 episodes of where they're, hey, we need to make a new slingshot for Wonder Woman. And it just went awry. And this girl's like, I'm so happy. It was horrible. It didn't last.
Ugh.
And they only had to pay for the names, because really there was no big hero in it. They just had to pay for the names of name dropping Batman or Gotham City, which we don't have to do because we're parodying it.
Right. That would be funny.
Like I said, a lot of shows out there. That one got me mad. But other than that, everything that's been coming out the past 5 years has been amazing.
Yes.
Superhero wise.
Mostly well, I mean, good. You know,
It's been watchable. That other show wasn't watchable.
Right. And it'll be interesting to see how that affects, how long that lasts. At some point, it's going to fizzle out, and we're going to move to the next thing.
Well, we were all about vampires, right?
And then zombies. Werewolves.
Zombies?
I think sci-fi is about to have a resurgence. Not that I wrote a book about it or anything, but...
I hope they do, and I hope it's like about Mars and about Blades.
With Dune coming out, I'm like...
I thought about a book that's going to be picked up by Netflix in 5 years.
We'll need a Dune to do well first to set the seed.
And if not, it'll be revised. No, but I think you're right on that. I think the next 5 years it will be sci-fi again, with you know, the Trekkies are still want stuff, man. Star Wars is there, you know, Mandalorian's killing it, but it's still not tapped.
Right. And speaking of sci-fi, I was hoping maybe in the next week or two, Johnny, we could do a little cast on a certain book about a certain blade.
I'm shocked we're not doing it right now. I want like a full on that one.
Yeah, me too. That's why we're not doing it right now. I need to set up some real stuff.
We might have to do that one in person. That might be a big one.
That would be really cool. We could set up some lights and everything.
That's a big one. We're spoiling, a little spoiler alert. The Master of Death himself wrote a book, and then we're going to hire someone to read it so I can listen to it in the car, because I don't read books. I just listen to books. And we're excited to drop it pretty soon here. We have, as the kids say, a lot of big things coming up, right, Jay?
Yeah, so it's scheduled for, when's Comic-Con? When's FanX?
FanX is September, I think, or August. End of September, so August.
If I can make
3 to 4 months.
If I can beat the September deadline, I'll try to. If not, then end of the year. But right now I finished a fourth draft of the book. I have some beta readers working on it. So we're hoping maybe, I'm trying to shoot really hard. I'm trying to push for a September deadline. If I can have some books ready and an e-download ready and an Audible ready by September for when we go to Comic-Con. Well, when we go to FanX, I'm going to get sued for saying Comic-Con. When we go to FanX.
That's next year when they're back, when California lets the cons happen again.
Yeah, I mean, so it's either we're debuting it at FanX or we're debuting at Comic-Con. Either one works.
All of them.
But yeah, Knights, look forward to that. Podcast coming up here soon with my book. Johnny, any other big announcements?
Nothing yet. Just keep watching shows, talk about it. We're going to try to be a little more interactive on things because we want to know what you guys want to hear, who you want us to talk to. We'll talk to people when they reply us. We'll talk to them.
That sounds
good. Or anything you're excited about, right? Dune's coming out. Isn't Widow supposed to come out like 6 years ago?
I know. Everything's leapfrogged it on your left.
Yeah. Right. I forgot that was going to, I was like, isn't it supposed to drop in May? And then I was like, oh wait, it got changed again. But
Quiet Place 2, we'll have to do another cast on that. Well, we've got a few. We got some casts coming for you, Knights. We'll keep you in the loop, and we'll maybe we even do a little survey of what should we cast about next, this or that.
Yeah, and then we'll keep pushing more FanX because we want to meet you in RL. That's real life for the old listeners out there.
For the name and term, isn't that a thing?
What?
Layman terms, I mean.
Oh, in
layman terms.
In English.
All right. Well, Knights, we will see you on the flippity flop.
Flippity flip.